Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. This is questions as of Monday, October 3rd, 2022. And I am recording on Thursday, October 6th in the United States of America. I am back in North America. A wonderful time in Mexico. I'm now coming through Texas and I will be headed east to Tennessee shortly. Cash and precious metals. I'm late to the party as it is from 2021. It may have been covered. Both the new gold and silver eagles 1 ounce are now minted only in one location and supplied with a notch for some sort of anti-counterfeiting security device. Would you chalk this up to similar features on $100 bills or have any speculations as to how to be used to tighten controls in the future on precious metals? I'm sure there's going to be every effort to, you know, there's going to be more and more invasive technology used to prevent counterfeiting, but also, yes, to have more security. I haven't looked into what they're doing on the Eagles. I never buy Eagles. Premiums are always too high for my taste, but I should look into what they're doing on the $100 bill, so I appreciate you letting me know. The Bank of England has now given the date of September 30th as the deadline for 20 and 50 pound notes to be considered as legal tender. Yep. They're trying to put invasive technology into the polymer notes is what I think. More controls. That's why we're going to have to make our own cash. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for all you do. I'm listening to your money and markets every week, and I know you've been buying silver. What type of coinage do you like? So we make silver coins for Solari, and so I just buy more Solari silver coins because we use them for promotions. So they always have a useful purpose as a business matters realm. If I wasn't buying Solari coins, I'd be buying 90%. And also in Holland, I've been buying silver cougarans. So no, I love 90%. I love the silver cougarans. But my favorite, of course, is the Solari coins. Good morning, Kathy. So now geopolitics and financial markets. Closing this loop off, of course, far better to return to source. Pasted below with new health warning in case you hadn't visited already. Know you're fluent and what sources are open. So this is an item from RAND, called Extending Russia, competing from advantageous ground. And actually, this is a pretty useful source looking at it from the U.S. point of view. Question, why would the Fed, J.P. Morgan, Chase go along with the Great Reset? Their entire industry makes money off the middle class. If they impoverish everyone, who is going to buy a house or charge up a storm for their credit card? They don't need the U.S. consumer to be the center of the global ceiling system. So that world is over. And in fact, dreadful as this may sound, many members of the middle class at this point, if you look at the federal liabilities, are worth more dead than alive. So that's the reality. They have to do a reset because they've promised enormous amounts of pension funds, retirement benefits, healthcare benefits. And in the meantime, the money that was funding all of that has been stolen. There's been a bank robbery, and rather than tell the depositors that they stole their money, they're just going to do a reset. I'm grossly oversimplifying. Related to that, why would Jamie Dimon bow down to the Eurotrash globalists like Klaus Schwab and Soros? I don't see why the Wall Street guys, which means the Fed would go along with CBDC or ESG. The Fed has publicly stated recently they aren't pushing a retail CBDC, and Dimon told Congress yesterday he isn't pushing back on fossil fuel investing. Is there a battle between the Fed and Davos? I believe there are serious tensions, and I think the Fed bankers and the New York Fed members are not as enamored of CBDC, and they're facing a world of trouble to try and implement them. The implementation issues for the Fed are far worse than ECB. You continue, the ECB will suffer from high rates and their communist takeover requires money. Pretty funny. I think there's a lot of tension in the establishment globally, and that's why I think the Midianite thing is going to happen. If you haven't heard me talk about the Midianite thing, listen to my interview on the story of Gideon with Thomas Meyer. Dear Catherine, you mentioned the financial elite saw the need for a reset or reform of the financial system. Why was a financial reset necessary again after the first reset of abandoning the gold standard in the 70s? Essentially, what you've done is you have promised the baby boomers enormous amounts of retirement benefits and other benefits. And in the meantime, you took all the money that was backing those benefits, and now the benefits are coming due. And so you need a reset because you can't make good on the liabilities. Was it because the gap between the wealth and power of multi-billionaires and the rest of the humanity became so wide that they eventually would pose a danger to those in power? That's kind of one way of looking at it, but you know, if you keep centralizing, then to implement that central control, you need more invasive central control, and that means you got to do a reset. I mean, think of it this way: you've been running in the G7 a balance of power between the monetary policy controlled by the private bankers and the fiscal policy controlled by the Treasury and the electorate, and you've been getting the electorate to do what you want by buying them and giving them a check and promising them all these retirement benefits. And the reality is that can't work anymore, and so you've got to do a reset. Or was the monetary system and stock market creating an unsustainable bubble? So you've paid a game of putting all the sovereign governments in the world in a debt bubble, and that debt bubble can't, you know, the debt growth model is over, so now you're going to have to enforce real pain. Anyway, I hope that helps. It's interesting, we talked in Financial Rebellion, Whitney Webb joined us, and we had a conversation where she described this very, very simply. It was very elegant. Catherine, my wife and I really appreciate your work. We just had dinner with a British member of parliament and former government minister. We brought up the U.S. bioweapons lab in Ukraine and Victoria Nuland's testimony to the USN about them, also that Russia presented evidence of them to the United Nations. He had never heard of it and doubted our statements. I was trying to find information to send to the MP, and Google says it's all fake. Do you have any information which I could forward? I asked our team to send the links that we had in news trends and stories on biowarfare. The reality is that, you know, you can't find legitimate sources that Google is going to affirm, because, in fact, Google exists to, you know, make sure that legitimate sources are not affirmed. So you can never, you know, you can never look to the enemy to affirm that you're telling the truth. We had what we had. Unfortunately, I believe the best source of information on it is the Russians. And I think their presentations to the UN have probably been pretty credible. Dear Catherine, at least I can't say I live in a dull time, but I wish it was less at I was less at the center of heat. So this is a long discussion with comments by a very capable and intelligent subscriber. Her concern on the Italian elections, let me just read this quickly. For about 20 years, we in Europe had more little colorful coalitions clinging together running the show. They did everything and anything like scouring the bounds of the law to keep centrist and right-wing parties out of office. Now at the beginning of the collapse, with more than possible coming riots in the streets, right-wing coalition parties swing in with a woman at the head that has no political experience whatsoever in a country known for explosive citizens. Color me skeptical. The only one in Meloni's current coalition with political experience is Silvio, how do you pronounce it, Berlusconi. Do you think he can spell the word integrity? I doubt he even knows the word. If things go south, the EU leadership can point to the people. You voted them in, and just look at the mess you created. They created. I believe this is the point of the exercise. It's very possible. Riots are almost certain due to the fact that the Nord Stream pipelines were broken, were blown up. There is no certainty European citizens will ever know who did this. I already hear screams of Russia. Only problem I have with this is it doesn't make much sense. She goes on to talk about that. I'm still trying to find independent corroboration that there were explosions. There's word that the Swedish are now grabbing evidence. We'll see what that comes of that. So you pray for America. I've been in America now for 3 or 4 days, and the word I'm getting here is not sure, you know, I'm not sure what Americans will be able to do. We see I have much more to travel. There's constant talk fiat money will come to an end. U.S. dollar is fiat money and gives the U.S. an advantage against any other currencies. U.S. isn't exercising what advantage with any integrity whatsoever. By now, anyone on the planet sees this. Will it hold, and for how long? It's a military question. It can hold for a long time, depending on how well the military resources are used. How can Italy, if it plays its card right, get from under the thumb of EU Central Bank? They're going to have to get control of the tax payments. So if they can get, with the telecommunications and systems, control of the tax payments, they can get out of the EU. How would you go about deconstructing that conundrum? I'd need to know a lot more about how the the information, the IT and telecommunications and banking systems work in and around the cash flows. Leave the EU and go back to your previous currency. I would leave the EU. You know, one interesting thing is they can always join another currency. That'd be interesting. I don't see Italy doing this. I doubt Italy has the capability of getting their own currency out there, but let's see. This is a snapshot of, be very interesting to see if Italy joined the dollar syndicate. That would be terribly interesting. This is a snapshot of Economist Intelligence, EIU, published on 9/27. I don't know if this was a projection before or after the pipes explosion. What do you think of that estimated chart? It's kind of interesting. Anyway, the link will be here in the... And then there's a description of the pressure on hospitals and elderly homes and how brutal the cutbacks could be in this area. And that is true, not just in... This was a subscriber from Europe, but it's going to be true in America as well. Hi, Catherine. I'm sure I am not the only person who's trying to figure out why the Fed fiscal policies seem at odds with our government spending policies. So we have tight money and liberal spending. We've had liberal monetary policy and tight or relatively tight spending. So they're just pushing the pedal back and forth, back and forth. Tom Lugano seems to think that some of our banks and the Fed do not want the one global central bank. I agree with that. I think the Fed realizes the danger of them ending up under the control of the BIS and a CBDC system. Powell is trying to damage the European banks and protect our banks. Maybe. I think the Powell situation is more complicated, but there's no doubt that exercising a dollar bear trap is putting the dollar guys in the catbird seat. Is this guy Tom Lugano legit? So I think Lugano's very legit. I find him to be, I think he has very interesting, he has a different way of looking at things. He has some pretty interesting insights, and I'm not a subscriber, but I enjoy reading him, and I probably will become a subscriber at some point. Anyway, so I like Lugano. I think he's authentic. Will you be covering this confusing issue in your Solari reports? Yes, but it's all part of the focus on the Fed at Money and Markets. Equity overview. Do you have any recommendations on where to bank in the UK? I don't. We have an article, How to Find a Local Bank, and I would recommend that you sort of go through that process. It should work anywhere in the G7. I've sold a property and finding another is being difficult. I've split the money between Barclays, Nationwide Building Society, NS, and I. I would like your advice on where to put money. If anybody has any thoughts on the best banks in the UK, please let us know and we'll add it. Hello, Catherine. I've been following your interviews for about a year now, and a couple of days ago joined the Solari Report. I'm looking to protect my savings and move away from the big banking system. All of my savings are invested in an IRA with the exception of some precious metals, which I put into a self-directed IRA. I depend on dividends generated in my IRA to offset living expenses. I am worried about the future of the market and specifically the total devaluation of the dollar. So the market is still, you know, the downside pressure in the market is very high, and it's inconceivable to me that we won't see greater lows than where we are now. So I think the market's going to have a rough ride for at least 6 to 18 months here. I'm worried about the future of the market, specifically the total devaluation of the dollar and financial reset, once again, controlled by the central banking system. I anticipate also needing some legal advice in regard to the IRS due to moving some cash out of my traditional IRA into a self-directed IRA in precious metals. Any direction you can provide would be greatly appreciated. If you look at any of the financial services firms that provide the custodian services for self-directed IRA, they should be able to tell you anything you need to know. What I would do is if you have a CPA, I talk to your CPA if there are any tax issues or legal issues. And I would, if you still need an attorney, I would go from, I'd find one that your CPA is comfortable with. There shouldn't be any legal issues if you moved the money properly from an IRA into a self-directed IRA. So as long as you moved across between custodians, you should be fine. Dear Catherine, I've been a subscriber for a while, and we are changing to a more local Texas bank after years with Wells Fargo. I've tried researching ratings, as you know, but not getting much results. We are opening an account at Pinnacle Bank, Texas, and hope it's good, definitely more local than Wells Fargo. We are in Central North Texas in Godley Johnson County. Pinnacle has branches in Joshua, Claiborne, Kane, and Granbury. They have 22 in Texas. There are other groups, but we are in the central southern states. Do you have tips on how to search for information on a local bank? You want to go through their financial statements, take a look at their board and management. I also use a Fort Worth Community Credit Union that seems to have a good rating. Apologies if you already have this information. There's a lot of good content on your website. So I would go to one of the bank rating services. So I tend to use Weiss, and you may have to pay for it. But I would check their ratings. I don't always agree with their ratings. I've seen them rate great banks with low ratings and terrible banks with high ratings. So you have to do your own due diligence. And it always helps to talk to financial providers, CPAs, lawyers, investment managers in that area as to who they think is good. But you have to do your own due diligence. Anyway, I've had clients who banked at Pinnacle. I've never heard about word about them, if that's useful, but it may not mean anything. Hello, Catherine. We have been listening to Money and Markets for over a year now. I have also been listening to the Financial Rebellion series. Thank you for your efforts. We have some U.S. bonds that we want to redeem. I see that a search says it only requires printing a form and taking along with your ID to your financial institution. Have you any idea in preparing to do this based on other subscriber experiences? None whatsoever. I've never owned U.S. bonds that I could take in to redeem. So, but my guess is if I'm assuming that you can find the instructions on the U.S. Treasury website. But if you followed those instructions, I would just definitely take it into your financial institution and try it, as long as you're in a good, trustworthy financial institution. If you're not, then you've got another problem that you need to solve. Anyway, but there's no reason to believe that it's not rather perfunctory. So I would just go ahead and try and do it based on what you found. Also, just a few notes about us. Part of the Feds for Medical Freedom case, awaiting the decision in the Fifth Circuit. Dr. Raymond Ramos was our beloved pediatrician. You can see his photo on CHU website as he honored parental informed consent. We live in Georgia, and the MK here, the mind control, is heavy. I've been canvassing for Susan B. Anthony for a month now, and so many people don't care, but I've met some lovely people too. I've been practicing, I don't know how to pronounce this, Buteyko, a different breathing method from Wim Hof. Looks very interesting. So I ordered two books that I'll get when I get back to the Netherlands. So it looks, you said you've been practicing it for 6 years now and has improved your health tremendously. Sadly, we cannot make it to the meet and greet in Knoxville. I'm longing for like-minded people. Our church stayed open through 2020, but we have many pharmacists, doctors, and nurses, particularly psychology experts, and so many got their jobs and still think boosters are a good idea. It feels like the Twilight Zone, and I'm looking at many King Theodens with Saruman controlling their thoughts. I see that there is a Solari Connect aid available, but I've not worked out how to use it. I would definitely get on Solari Connect and see if you can find some other folks in the state of Georgia. Hi, Catherine. Over time, I've learned to love your work. Please continue my subscription for 2023. I'm very confused about a safe bank for my money in Tallahassee, Florida, or Donelson, Georgia. Can you give me any suggestions? Yeah, go through our article on how to find a good local bank and just go through the process. Process really works. On your recent Money and Markets, you made it clear that you don't think much of Ethereum. Is there a recent Solari resource that goes into more detail about your views specifically on Ethereum? There's really not. I went through due diligence on Ethereum years and years ago, had a very dreadful experience, and haven't done anything since. So I've been remiss in not staying current, but my initial experience was quite horrible. Hello, Catherine, you were absolutely right. Can't believe how quickly the dominoes are falling in it. Then somebody sends a link to the article about Australia to treat climate change denial as a mental disorder. We started to put together a database where we're just collecting articles on the weaponization of mental health. So if you have any of those, definitely post. But I really appreciate your sending the links. It's incredible what they're up to. Dear Catherine, I normally don't post comments, so I didn't know where to send this message. On the last Ask Catherine, you asked people for Let's Go to the Movies recommendation. I recently watched the movie 13 Lives. I found it to be very good and inspiring, if not harrowing. The movie is about the true story of the Thai soccer team and their coach stuck in a cave in Northern Thailand in 2018 and the rescue effort that was organized around it. This story was so inspiring because it shows what can happen when people put their minds and expertise together to accomplish something that was thought to be impossible. Here's a link to the trailer. So I watched the trailer last night, and I've convinced my hostess, we're going to watch 13 Lives tonight. I was kind of avoiding it because the thought of getting stuck in a cave it just gives me the creeps. So watching a movie about people stuck in a cave was like, I don't know. But I could tell from the trailer, it really looks like a great movie. And of course, the true story is a great story. So, okay, well, thanks for that, because we'll be watching it tonight. Question, August 8th special report, The Iron Bank is BIS Sovereign Immunity, the secret sauce behind the global coup. Part one with Patrick Wood. Patrick reads page 308 of Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley describing financial superstructure. I've checked my copy of unabridged version of this book on page 308 and did not find the text. I sent it to Patrick. He wrote back. It was page 324, correctly cited in my book, Globalization and the Crucible of Global Banking. If he is researching this to this level of detail, he should buy the book. I agree. Patrick's books are fantastic. Hello, Catherine. A friend who is an astute business woman is an ardent subscriber of Martin Armstrong and the Socrates computer system. I don't know his track record of accuracy. Would you trust his Armstrong economics and Socrates system to provide actionable intelligence? I don't believe in predicting the future, and I don't believe in black boxes that can predict the future. So, and I've never tracked Armstrong's system to see if it's as accurate as he seems. He has tremendous confidence, and obviously. Or do you suggest I not spend time on Martin Armstrong? I think Martin Armstrong has a lot of good insights and thoughts on the global financial system. Even when I look at his predictions, I think they're worth, you know, I love looking at different scenarios. I think it keeps us thinking in agile ways. So I find Armstrong's analysis to be useful, and I think he understands a lot about the markets more than most. He's kind of a cranky guy. Somebody once asked me what I thought of his work, and I said, you know, I walked through what I thought the pros and the cons were, and the next day I got thrown off his email list, so I think he's got a thin skin. Anyway, but I like Armstrong, and I find his work useful. I don't always agree with him, and I don't always trust him, but, you know, so take it with a grain of salt. I asked because the September 16th Ask question, you mentioned you do not find gym records to be reliable. That is putting it mildly. Hello, Catherine. I've researched the Apollo missions photos and footage off and on for a number of years. So you go through this and there's a deathbed confession. I don't trust that particular deathbed confession, but I will say this. Jay Wider did a great video on the whole issue, and he basically came out that they'd had Stanley Kubrick film the film that was shown to the population on the moon landing so that they could keep the what actually happened secret. So there are two possibilities. One is that there was no moon landing, or the other was there was a moon landing, but what got shown to the public was something that Stanley Kubrick filmed. I don't know which is true. You know, there's a lot of controversy about whether or not we ever put somebody in the moon, and what the true story is about getting through the Van Allen belt, all sorts of issues. I personally, based on everything I've learned to date, believe there's some kind of life and activity going on in the moon, and the question is, who is it? And I can't answer that, but I think there's lots going on the moon. So somebody pointed out the microchip story we showed in Money and Markets 2 weeks ago was from 2017. That is my bad, and thank God the subscribers are so smart, because they reminded me that I should have checked it more deeply. But anyway, it's a story from 2017, so the story is correct. It's just older than I thought. Question, I'm wondering if there's something I should know about the idea of my local sewer authority being bought out by the PA Water Company. This is not good. I know you gave me a list of all the things you're promising them. Once you give up control and once you give up power, they can change everything. I would never allow, if possible, the local sewer authority to get privatized and into the control of anybody other than the municipal authorities in that place. Very dangerous. And, you know, I would start looking into getting a septic tank. To be honest. Catherine, you have often used the term multiple personality disorder to explain the confusion and mixture of actions that seemingly don't add up. Being a clinician who specializes in dissociated identity disorders, the new acronym diagnosis for MPD, I find this reference that you often use to be inaccurate, quite frankly, a flagrant disregard for those who are suffering from this debilitating and trauma-induced disorder. Okay, so when I talk about multiple personality disorder, I'm talking about people having to adapt to a world where they're required to pretend that the official narrative is true, and yet reality is completely different. And it creates all sorts of anxiety and stress and difficulty. And so I'm referring to a political and cultural phenomena, not a psychological problem. So I'm not using MPD as a clinician or as a psychologist. I'm referring to what it's like culturally and politically to adapt to a psychopathic or a world run by psychopaths who are making you pretend that things that are happening are not happening. So I'm just using it in a totally different context, and I'm sorry it offends you, but I'm going to keep using it because it's a perfect description of the political and cultural phenomena. You know, we're all struggling with multiple personality disorder. Maybe I should say multiple world disorder, be interesting to, or multiple narrative disorder. I don't know. If anybody's got a suggestion, let me know. But again, I'm talking about a political and a cultural phenomena, not a psychological phenomenon. Then you go on to talk about Matisse Desmet. You and John Titus were discounting Matisse Desmet for a clinical error that he allegedly made in not reporting a patient who was a serial killer. Okay, so Matisse Desmet had a patient. So the question is, was he a patient or was Desmet the handler? I don't know, but he had a patient I saw about 15 times who in his lifetime had killed 20 to 50 people starting at the age of 20. And he had killed four relatives, including his mother and I guess two uncles. And Desmet never reported him, which meant that the guy continued to serve as a counselor in a local hospital, counseling people who were facing end-of-life issues. And he had a part of his serial killing pattern was killing elderly who were facing end-of-life issues. So Desmet did not warn the hospital that they might want to move the guy into something that didn't put him into contact with people with end-of-life issues. So you're saying he allegedly made a clinical error. I don't think that's alleged. I mean, this is pretty well documented. And even the court judge who oversaw the prosecution of the serial killer when other therapists finally reported it was, you could see, was pretty clearly disgusted with Desmet. You say this may be true, but Desmet has proven himself to be a wonderful scholar. Actually, that's not true. I've read his book, and whoever wrote that book, they're not a scholar, let alone a wonderful scholar. And he's contributed an immense amount of knowledge and information regarding totalitarian regimes. That's just not true. If you read his book, he's essentially trying to explain totalitarianism without anybody being responsible for instigating totalitarianism and how psychological manipulation is used as a weapon. That's not the case. He does not go into military-grade neurological weapons and most of the things that are driving the current manipulation. So it's funny, I'm looking forward, there's several new pieces that are coming out, and I look forward to publishing them, that really describe in detail why, honestly, the mass formation theory is a bunch of hooey. Now, the reason it's important to discuss is because if you look at how it's being used and potentially could be used, people are planning on using it to protect a lot of serial killers. So if Desmet protected one serial killer in his practice, his theory is cooked up to protect a lot of serial killers. That's what the Bregans have seen the danger of and have tried to stop. And I, for one, am extremely grateful to them because they are doing a world of good by pointing out that there are real predators and they are responsible under the law. Now, here's what's important. What's important is we either have the rule of law and then we have civilization, or we don't have the rule of law And if you look at how the mass formation is being cooked up to be used, it's being used to subvert the rule of law and protect the instigators of serial killing. And I'm not okay with that. And I'm not okay with anybody who supports and promotes that. So as far as I'm concerned, Desmet is, I would say, on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of utility, I'd give Desmet about a negative 10. I don't think he's a wonderful, wonderful scholar, and I don't think his protection of a serial killer was a clinical error. I think he now is showing a pattern of being part of protecting serial killers. You and I are just going to have to disagree on that one strongly. But hopefully I have more material to publish, and I hope it will be helpful in making it clear what the real issues are here. Hi, Catherine. I wonder if you could give a review of the book Cracking the Code by Peter Hendrickson. This is a book on the federal income tax. I've ordered it, and it's sitting in the Netherlands. I don't know how quickly I can read it, but I have ordered it because I would like to read it. I would like to review it. Hi, Catherine. My husband had a patient who worked for the Federal Reserve. He told me the profit made by the Federal Reserve goes back into the U.S. Treasury. Is that true? Yes and no. First of all, the way the profits on the Fed system roll, first the banks get a set dividend. Then there's a certain surplus that has to be kept in capital. Then the amount over that is supposed to be sent back to the Treasury. However, during the different QEs, there's been periods where there was an exception and the Fed could keep the dividends, is my understanding. But also, if you look at how QE allowed them to expand their bank account and their balance sheet, and if you look at some of the crap that I think was in the QE, it's a way of backdooring, siphoning off the dividends that normally would go to the Treasury. So I would say it's true, but it's not true. It's a much more complicated story. But if you look at the big money that the New York Fed member banks make out of playing that role, it's not the dividends. The dividends are a tiny part of the play. But I think, you know, it's very important for the Fed that the optics are that the profits go to the Treasury. So I think the optics are very cleverly set up. But if you look at the truth of the matter of who's making how much and what, I would not be distracted by the fact that, some dividends go back. Hi, Catherine and Saleri. This was in my feed today. I watched it before throwing it in the trash. Now I'm retrieving it from the trash and sharing it with you. It's something from Rickards on the, on Executive Order 14067. I'm not watching anything from Rickards. Life is too short. Question from Financial Rebellion. I found myself very disheartened with commentary Carolyn made just prior to you joining the program in episode 40. She characterized mass formation as blaming the people for the issue. Matthias Desmet, the author, clearly states that people are being manipulated and controlled. He likens it to being hypnotized. Hence, people can't communicate on the topic. They usually get angry. There's a link to an Epic Times interview. Carolyn was upset about some back and forth with a doctor that she seemed to know. She's commenting on Dr. Malone, I think. So let me just, I got a comment from Carolyn. The comment was before you joined the Financial Rebellion broadcast. This woman apparently is a subscriber because this came through us. Catherine missed the point of what I said. The setup, Bregan's article about mass formation was merely background in saying that Malone attacked the doctor who criticized him by not responding on the merits, but instead by saying Bregan was effectively senile. We were talking about the weaponization of mental health. Now, this is true. Robert Malone, who's really the person who's taken the mass formation theory and turned it into something much more dangerous by adding psychosis or hypnosis, was on John B. Wells, tried to attack Bregan's, and rather than attacking the substance of what Bregan has been saying, pulled a very clever trick. And what he said was that Bregan was elderly and he had it from various people that his cognition was slipping. Now, if you look at the interviews that Bregan had given right before Malone did this interview, I would say that Bregan's demonstrated a much higher IQ than Dr. Robert Malone and was slipping the way Braveheart was slipping when he went to battle. I mean, there was not... His cognition was absolutely superb. Comments were, he was quite, his mind was working excellently. There was not any indication that his age had caused any slippage or senility or deterioration of cognition. And based on what I heard Malone say, I mean, I'm assuming that that was, I mean, to say that it was a slimy, dirty trick is an understatement. And no person of integrity would have ever played that game. Now, if you listen to how he delivered it, it sounded to me like he, you know, somebody had prepped him, which was interesting because I had it reported to me several days later that Desmet used the same slander on Bregan in an interview in Dutch in the Netherlands. I didn't watch it myself because I don't speak Dutch yet. I wonder who exactly prepped them to use that dirty trick, but it's the kind of dirty trick that people of integrity do not use, especially because there's not an iota of truth to it. Carolyn says, we were talking about the weaponization of mental health, not whether mass formation was a valid theory. Boy, Malone sure has his adherents who can't stand it when someone points out he was double vaxxed and still a member of some organizations that are promoting COVID vaccines. That's a fact, not a slander, and I don't take a position on whether Malone was on the dark side. I would suggest if you are interested, if the subscriber is interested in Desmet's theory of mass formation, that you read Ulrich's Groniger's book review of his book. I can't believe anybody could read Desmet's book and think this was, one, a serious theory, or two, had anything to do with what happened during COVID. And, you know, I'll just be blunt. But again, we have more material coming, which I think would be very, very helpful. And so if you have any comments on Desmet, I would hold up on them and wait until you read this new piece that hopefully we'll have out in the next week or two. This is where I come out. I'm for the rule of law. And that means if people break the law, they're accountable under the law. And I don't want to hear any psychological gobbledygook about why they're not responsible under the law. Because giving them a psychological out from being held responsible for the law is what protects serial killers. And I have no interest in protecting serial killers. I'm often told I have to unify with people, and to not want to unify with Dr. Robert Malone makes me anti-unification. I never unify with people who are walking in an opposite direction. My understanding from Dr. Robert Malone is he is very supportive of the vaccine schedule going forward. And my position is clear. The theoretical benefits of immunology does not justify continually allowing the manufacturing of mystery ingredients by people or institutions with a serial felony record and allow them to inject said mystery ingredients into children in a way that poisons them. So I do not support that. And as far as I know, anybody who does is walking in the opposite direction from me. That's a question. Oh, this is a good one. I believe Dr. Meryl Nass is still practicing, and I wonder if the main medical yahoos who are responsible for that fuck-up have been hearing from their overlords. I wonder how long it took them to figure out that having Dr. Nass busy with her patients was way safer than giving her time to write. Hero of the year contender for sure. Yes, indeed. The main medical board has certainly blessed the freedom movement with Meryl's writing. She's just knocking doubles, triples, home runs every day, every week. Somebody commented that, you know, what was going on was far more gruesome than just mind control, and sent in a sort of chart that shows all the different things that goes on with organized stalking and electronic harassment that's quite good. And you're right, all those things are real, and I've experienced all of them. So it's all very real. So I appreciate that chart. It shows you how bad it is. Hi, team. Your Soleri CHD audience crossover is brilliant. Do you think there's any potential for a similar crossover with Dave Ramsey? He's a huge fan of cash, but I'm not sure he understands the depth of our current governance problem. And you put a link to RamseySolutions.com. So I love Dave Ramsey, and I love how he teaches people to take responsibility and, you know, and to really budget well. So I often recommend his materials. I'm not sure if he'd be interested in the political side. He likes to keep it straight on money, but I agree with you. I love Dave Ramsey. Also, he's in Tennessee. Question from subscribers input. Armstrong recommended buying gold. I think there are too many folks in Soleri who've made a mistake in buying their majority position in silver. I don't know that that's true, because generally, you know, certainly as an investment advisor, I recommended a lot more money in gold than silver. You said you recommend metal allocation to be 75% gold, 25% silver. I don't believe in set recommendations. Everybody's different. For the past 42 years, silver has been the worst investment one could have made. I totally disagree with that. No central banks hold silver. During the Depression in the 30s, silver lost about 90% of its value. Silver never took out the 80 high of $50 per ounce. If a crash happens, one can convert their gold coins into silver for bartering. That's true. But here's the thing. I like gold and I like silver. I like them for different reason and different purposes. Whenever the silver gold ratio is as high as it is right now, I like silver. But one of the reasons I'm buying silver is I'm buying more Solari coins. And you say coin dealers make more money from selling silver than gold. That's why many dealers push silver. That's not been my experience. You know, if you look at who the, you know, Franklin's very bullish on silver for all the reasons he describes, but I don't think that's because he's pushing it to make more money. Or his kids, you know, his kids run the dealership now, so I don't think he's pushing it for his kids to make more money. But I agree with you. I think gold is a, as a long-term investment, is a better core position than silver. Generally has performed better than silver under most scenarios. So I agree with all of that, but I think there are profoundly important reasons to have both in your core and depending on the market, both in your investment. So I'm a, you know, I like gold and I like silver, but right now with the silver gold ratio where it is and Solari coins being my preferred vehicle, I'm buying plenty of silver. I'm going to keep buying silver. Dear Mrs. Fitz, I hope one day you will write a guide for the next generation of entrepreneurs on how to navigate through the treacherous waters of dealing with angel investors and VCs. Although it's not focused on VCs, deep state politics is very useful for that purpose. So you describe all the terrible things that happen to you dealing with the VCs. So I'd recommend to everybody that they read this because it's a really good example of how vicious that whole world can be. I mean, it really is dealing with organized crime. You have to be unbelievably careful. So I appreciate your posting that. Hi, Catherine. Living for your updates with John Titus every week, plus the special reports. It's also helpful. What does a bank bail-in mean for U.S. banks? Does the FDIC insurance hold for the 250? In theory, yes, but you know, there are more and more reports of the FDIC being slow to pay and you know, difficulties on the FDIC side. I put a link in the show notes from Investopedia, which is a good overview of the bank bail-in problems. And it's one reason why, you know, you want to make sure your bank is very well capitalized and you want to keep, you know, it's better to not have more than 250 in the FDIC limits in any bank. Hi, Catherine. Thanks to you and your guests for your hard work. I'm a Canadian that has the appointment for a travel Nexus card. In the past, I've never wanted one due to the biometric data they gather. I have a temporary work visa for another 2.5 years, and I'm not expecting to be traveling to go down to work. I would extend your, you know, if you could get a 5-year or longer now, I would get it now. I would do whatever you have to do to extend this. I just got my 5-year residency for the Netherlands. And I wouldn't worry about the biometric data. If you look at the biometric data they collect to do a work ID or something like that, it's they already have that data, so I wouldn't worry about it. And maybe it's just because, you know, I'm in the securities industry. They've had my fingerprints forever, and I was a political appointee. So between the securities industry and being a political appointee, that, you know, they've already got everything. Hi, Catherine. We can tell the Californians here in Arizona because many of them are wearing masks. So we say to them when they ask a dumb question, gee, you sound so vaxxed. I'm working hard for Carrie Lake because without a strong governor, we are screwed. Yeah, we all need strong governors, strong state AGs, and strong sheriffs. Catherine, you are capable of making people more conscious about everything, their health, their food, their money. And so then I won't read the whole long piece, but it's very good comments, very useful comments. But anyway, your comment is that I'm not sufficiently concerned about the environment, which is not what I feel is the case. So I spent decades trying to come up with a financial model which would put the financial system and the environment and all living things in a win-win relationship. If you look at all my work on the Solari investment model, the goal was to stop the harm. So I think the number one harm to the environment is the secret governance system with, you know, using a fiat currency model wrongly. Now, there are There are many ways to use a fiat currency model rightly, so I don't want to blame everything on fiat currency, but if you look at a centralized governance system that's that's secret and breaking the financial management laws, that is the problem. And that is the problem that's causing the most environmental damage. And that's my focus, has been solving the damage that it causes to all living things, whether it's people, animals, plants, the environment, etc. So as far as I'm concerned, I love the planet. I love the beauty of the planet. I love the environment. And I care very much about the environment, but I care about solving the real problem causing the environment, not any of these made-up problems. One post I would recommend you read is, I put the link in the show notes, An Intelligent Conversation About the Environment. And I had a rip-roaring fight with a dear ally about climate change and refused to, he's trying to bully me into publishing stuff promoting climate change. I said, I'm not going to do it until you answer these questions. And of course, he couldn't answer the questions. One of the things I try to do with movies and documentaries that we recommend every week in Let's Go to the Movies and in the wrap-ups is to promote documentaries that celebrate the incredible beauty of the planet, which I think is so very important. Anyway, and the most recent one was The Velvet Queen. Oh, God, beautiful. And My Octopus Teacher, which was documented the year and a half back. And then the new one that we're coming out with is, it's a short one about the migration of birds along the Rio Grande called The Birders. It's really interesting. I saw it when I was in Mexico. I recommend it. Hi, Catherine. Here's a couple of reports from Money and Markets straight out of Bizarre World. These are incredible. Oh, God, Australia. Australia's biggest, second biggest telecom, Optus. They get hacked. They demand a ransom be paid. Monero releases the data of 10,000 customers to prove it's legit. It becomes the biggest news story since the Queen died. Then Black backflips, apologizes, and disappear. Media pokes fun, then goes silent. Any insight? I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. And I've checked with some people in Australia, and they have no idea. Then CBDC crypto, after previously saying it wasn't necessary, as we already have a comprehensive and smoothly operating digital banking system, the RBA suddenly brings out its white paper on CBDC in 2023. Apparently, they got the call from headquarters. Anyway, great links. Question, suggestion for financial rebellion topic. Mercola published a great article on the need to de-Google your life, reprinted here. Ditch Google and Gmail before it's too late. Excellent piece. Excellent, excellent piece. Whenever anybody emails me from Gmail, I think, why? If you're in Gmail, get out of Google. Just get out of Google. Hi, Catherine. I've been following you now for over a year and have heard you repeatedly talk about the central bank, the power they have, the control they have, the way they make money on both sides of conflict. I've always thought that was a bit extreme. Then I read The Tower of Babel. It blew me away and opened my eyes. To see what you're talking about, it makes me ill, especially that World War II could have ended sooner without the atomic bomb and the loss of so many lives. I've also heard you talk about our government as being run as a criminal organization, as organized crime. I always thought you meant that the criminals were the politicians organizing against them. Then I started reading Whitney Webb's One Nation Under Blackmail. Oh, you mean that organized crime? Wow. I have a much better understanding of what you're talking about now. You have had this information all along and talk about the conclusions, which seem far out there. But when you get the details, you unfortunately are right on the target. I'm still spinning a bit. Thank you for these references. The Tower of Babel was truly enlightening and completely changed my understanding. Yeah, it's a very powerful book. And Carolyn Betts is writing a review, so we should have that up by next week. Anyway, I really appreciate your comment. Health and food. I'm a new subscriber, and I want to say how much I appreciate your content. I'm receiving quite an education. Living unvaxxed in Oregon during the COVID crazy has been very isolating and painful. I want to offer some additional info on the weaponization of mental health and protecting ourselves. Please, I share your concerns about all the risks here. Gun legislation, silencing dissidents, you name it. Please remind subscribers that if they choose to use their health insurance to cover the cost of counseling or psychotherapy, they're agreeing to have a documented psychiatric diagnosis that will be in their medical insurance records forever. This is very important. Pay cash. Pay cash. Always pay cash. Most people do not realize this. If anyone has concerns and would like to seek counseling support, I recommend going seeing a private practice practitioner, professional, instead of a provider associated with their doctor's office or someone like Kaiser. Ask about how records are kept. Ask for a paper record, much safer than digital, in my opinion. Pay out of pocket. Discuss how the chief complaint will be documented in the record. A state licensed professional will need to document a problem area, treatment plan, and assessment. However, there is more flexibility if insurance is out of the picture. Also, seeing a provider out of network, paying up front, and sending your paid bill to insurance for partial payment will still require a psychiatric diagnosis. There's often confusion about this. I'm telling you, you don't want any of this in a record. So find somebody who you can pay cash to who will keep minimal paper records, ideally no records. In fact, it's one reason to go talk to a minister instead of somebody who's licensed by the state. You know, or pay a friend to talk to you, for God's sakes. This is why I see manicurists. When I need a, you know, when I need a little personal attention, I just go get a manicure. Hope this is useful clarification. Yes, it's very. In the meantime, I will certainly continue my efforts regarding fully informed consent. Very important advice. Dear Catherine, thank you for information offered on your Solaire site. Somebody recommending the book Bitten, which I've had strongly recommended to me. I've purchased a copy of it, but I haven't read it yet. Every indication, yes, that Lyme disease was caused by bio warfare leak. Thanks for the tip because, you know, I keep being told how great that book is. I heard a comment made about getting medical records via MyChart, which I think was in the conversation on financial rebellion. While many services like MyChart provide you access to some of your medical records, there is no substitute for asking them to provide you with an electronic PDF format. In every case, we have found that the MyChart records are not complete. The High-Tech Records Act allows a patient to get an electronic copy for a small fee. You can then print them or save them a disk in an archive. This will let you see what is and what is not there. For example, you may have had a diagnostic test that is mysteriously missing, or perhaps when you look at the test, you can tell that it's not your test. Electronic medical records change, so our practice in medical malpractice cases is to have the patient obtain a set of records. Then we, as a law firm, ask for the records. Finally, a set of records is obtained through discovery. In almost every instance, the medical records are different in some way. So having a hard copy of the records that does not change is important. One of the things I'm told by attorneys is when there are mistakes in the records, it can cause unbelievable pain. So that's why you want none of your information going into any of these central databases. But if it does, you want to be unbelievably careful about what that is. So just remember, you're dealing in a very dangerous area when you deal with anybody who keeps digital records on you. Local gatherings, somebody has a recommendation for a popsicle party. You can read it in the show notes. And then somebody asking if I'm going to be in Texas. Yeah, I'm coming through Texas very quickly on my way to Tennessee and Knoxville. And then we are having a gathering in Knoxville. We're going to try and have one in Pennsylvania. The recommended links section is unbelievably long. We got a lot of great link recommendations. I've sent a lot of them into News Trends and Stories. And here's one on story on Walmart canceling major orders. And then one, Teresa Long on the vaccination. Teresa Long is a military doctor. Very unbelievably impressive person. More on the weaponization of mental health. I really appreciate anything you get on the weaponization of mental health. Harvard John Hopkins study, new study shows vaccine up to 98 times more dangerous than the COVID. Many more. Something from Laura Logan, her interview on War Room about the fact that our borders are open. And that certainly appears to be true. Something on the fire in Paris. Anyway, many, many more good links. And I've been through all of these and again sent a lot into the News Trends and Stories. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your intelligence. Australian PM comments on future of electric cars. He suggests recharging your electric car with solar panels overnight. Apparently the Honorable PM is not aware of the fact that the sun does not shine at night. Or perhaps that's just another conspiracy theory. Oh, it's so funny. Let's see, a video from Ed Dowd. And again, many, many more links. I wanted to mention the Saker Andre has apparently lost his house in the Hurricane Ian. So I went to his website the other night and made a special. I give a monthly donation to the Saker, but I thought I would make an additional one. You know, it's not a bad idea to go in and give him an additional donation. Anyway, many, many more links, many good links. So I think you find sort of skimming this part of the show notes to be very, very useful. What's this? This is, Citizens for Sanity. Yeah, I love this. And then under Take Action, I'm sending a quarterly reminder for our Monday morning prayer. This is a great one from a great subscriber. So just a reminder that we are still praying every Monday morning for 1 minute at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So just 1 minute of prayer. And then, of course, in the back of the show notes, I have the sort of links that generally come up during Ask Catherine. Okay, well, that's it for this week. I will be back next week with Ask Catherine. And next week, I'll be in Tennessee, finally home at last. Anyway, I look forward to talking to you all from Tennessee. Have a wonderful week.